rich man has a canopy over his bed. A poor man has a canopy under his bed.
Freedom Morning. This is the Trigger
Jam with him, Jim.
Broadcasting from Pod Bay 2 Gay, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Fairy Studios. We alter your alias by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves.
Faster, louder.
This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Jim and Michael?
Yeah, it's working for me.
Yeah. The Freedom Fiends. The Freedom Fiends is done in all caps and is covered by a BIPCOT no government license on a BIPCOT flag that has Frey on it. And this means that you're actually covered by a BIPTime license. A maritime BIP court. And that any proceedings that go on in any sort of other court are invalid because reasons. And we are also covered by the BIPCOT's no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org. Trigger warning, this is the Trigger Weens. Good evening, gentlemen.
Freedom Fiends. It's Michael Dean. Hey, Jim.
It's great.
What's up?
Hey, now.
Play, now that he's now that all the cacophony and music and intros are done, will you play another lick on your didgeridoo there, Jim?
It's so hard to play because I had to take the gross.
Could you didgeridoo don't
bear whack?
Play it for 5 seconds. Just play a riff on it. Play Whole Lot of Love. Yeah, I'm melting.
I should have brought this to Jackfest when I was.
You should have. You would have been
partaking in things that may not
mad
be
hippie,
legal in your
hippie puss. What? Wow.
Yeah, there was a lot of hippies there. Yeah, I went to Jackfest. Yeah.
Shocking.
Awesome. And by the way, I don't know if you heard about Steam It. Did you hear about Steam It?
There's like, isn't that a contraction for steaming pile of it?
You got an hour? I'll tell you all about it. Or 90 minutes.
So this is the people kept. Explain what happened.
A Cleveland Steam It.
Yeah, so.
Hey now. Triggered Cleveland native.
You know, hang on a sec. When you said you had a how do you say it?
Didgeridoo.
I said he should didgeridoo don't play it. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard you had one, Jim. I was like, of course you do. You also have a theremin. Want to play some theremin tonight in the second hour?
I'll have to set it up. Yeah, but
yeah,
I can.
Yeah.
It's an interesting theremin because it's a theremin that has a pitch control and all kinds of Moog effects. So it's basically a Moog synthesizer that they attached a theremin to control with.
I learned from
analog, old school.
I learned from the Baton Rouge Shooters podcast from becoming an alphapreneur that you have to control your pitch and never, ever let your pitch control you.
Wow. Yeah. So Steam It, for people who don't know. Oh, the name of tonight's show is Show Me on the Blockchain Where the Scam Show Me on the Blockchain Where the Scam Coin Touched You. So scam coin is a word in the cryptocurrency communities for a coin that really is not intended to actually be used. It's a pump and dump scheme. I also think there should be pump coin and dump coin, but that's a whole different ball of earwax that you rub on your didgeridoo. So this thing, Steam It, is like valued at $250 million, and it just came out, and it's like too complicated to explain to people, which means it's going to go nowhere. And it has indications of being either a multi-level marketing scam or a Ponzi scheme. Now, I was wrong, because last night I said on this show that I thought that Jeff Berwick was an insider in this, that he had, like, you know, they contracted him to use his immense fame, no, his, like, kind of popularity in libertarian turd pool of, like, he did this article that sounded like a Nigerian money scam, like, subject line of an email. It was called, like, I made $15,000 in 12 hours blogging on Steam It. I mean, if you got an email that said that, you'd delete it even if it came from a friend. You'd call your friend and be like, hey, did you get hacked? Change your password, man. I'm leaking on one of you guys, so I'm leaking all over you. So, yeah, so there's this thing called Steam It. And it's a combination of like a cryptocurrency and a social media network, kind of like Facebook, where like you get paid for blogging in your underwear, you know, which is ridiculous. And so I thought that Berwick was, you know, like the inside man, like he's claiming he only heard about it 3 days ago. And I think what really happened is that he did really hear about it 3 days ago, but he's just a useful idiot. And maybe it looks more like a Ponzi scheme. And when I say that to people, like, they don't know anything. People don't know anything. They're like, oh, it's not a Ponzi scheme. Like, you don't have to pay to get on it. And I'm like, you idiot. No. Like, people, investors have put $250 million into this. And that's where.
Wait, what?
Yeah. This is the.
$250 million.
Well, that's the valuation of it right now. So.
And it's not an independent valuation, so it's not like that's a stock market cap or anything like that.
It is the market cap. No, it's not that they've decided it. Is that what you're going to ask?
Yeah.
If they no. Here's what that means. It's the third biggest market cap of any of the 750 cryptocurrencies. Steam is the coin. Steam it is the community, the website. So and they're also like people think that this website is on the blockchain. They're like, oh, it's uncensorable. It's not. Like people pimping it are just like blockchain. But I think Jeff Berwick is a useful idiot. He doesn't know anything. Like, he spent 90 minutes today pooping on his face on Free Talk Live. It was hilarious. And Daryl Perry, who's something I like, but, you know, presidential Libertarian Party candidate, Daryl Perry, you know, sometimes he gets kind of like, okay, whatever. You know, he kind of like, can irk me a little bit. I like him, but sometimes he's not my favorite Free Talk Live host. But today he was my hero. Because he was the only person in that room of like five people that really like asked hard hitting questions of Berwick. Like, because Ian's totally into it. Ian's like, hey, I'm on Steemit and I've made $2 in a week. But Daryl was like asking all these questions, like, are you or are you not a member of the Communist Party? No. Are you a partner in this? Berwick's like, no, blah, blah, blah. So I just think he's a useful idiot after hearing him today. Like, he can't really explain what it is. You know, if he was vested in it, I think he'd know a little more about it.
That's how liberty scams work. It's always something vague. I'm ending human trafficking. How? By raising awareness. Please give me money.
Yeah,
the same sort of thing. My book is gonna end statism. How? Well, give me money and I'll tour and make sure it happens.
Yeah.
Talk to people one by one.
Yeah, and Jeff Berwick like was involved in a land. I'll call it a scheme, not a scam, in South America, where 30 people invested a total of $7 million to like create a libertarian paradise in Chile, and the money disappeared. And the three people who ran it, Jeff Berwick and two other guys, all point the finger at the other guy. And very conveniently, they wouldn't take checks. They wouldn't take money transfers. They only took Bitcoin and gold. So, you know, so it's less traceable and people can leave the country and with a backpack and, you know, do whatever they want. But, you know, Berwick swears up and down he didn't scam anybody. But if this thing turns out to be a scam, if Steam turns out to be a scam, it is going to be a scam of biblical proportions, money wise, that's going to make the $7 million that went missing in the libertarian paradise plan of Galt's Gulch in Chile. It's going to make that look like a kid stealing a stick of gum out of another kid's backpack on the kindergarten playground. I mean, $250 million.
Is anyone actually buying these Steam coins? Because from what I understand, everybody just seems to be blogging and kind of getting that reputation coin and the Steam coin that comes with it, and then cashing it out into Bitcoin right away. But are there people who are like, oh, I want to like spend money as Steam coin?
Yes.
There's like a website where I can buy.
Yes, people have put a lot of money into this. Yeah, the valuation is based on all of the coin that exists. And the price that it's trading for, and what you could, I mean, you couldn't, it couldn't all get cashed out at once. It would crash the market. Same thing with Bitcoin or any currency like that or any shit like that. But
can I like go to shinybadges.com and buy some shiny badges with some Steam coin? Is there like a website where I can do this with? So it's not really money.
It's on exchanges.
Yeah, it's on exchanges, but it's not being used as a currency, so it's not really.
No, it's being all speculation. It's 112% speculation. I mean, really, most cryptocurrencies are, even Bitcoin in a way, but at least Bitcoin is actually used a lot in commerce. So
yeah, not Bitcoin though, because Bitcoin will be backed by Yak Jerky, and we're going to finally bring back the Yak standard in this country, make fiends great again.
I will sell stuff. I won't buy stuff, but I'll sell stuff with all kinds of and I'm gonna hoard all the Bitcoin, all the BIP coins, and I'm gonna one day just buy all the ads for the fiends and just play a bunch of Residents songs, the 1 minute Resident songs. I'm gonna do it. Mark my word.
So JP Brody wrote me and said that he'd much prefer a social cryptocurrency network that paid most people that he knows not to write things.
There we go.
And then he said, love it. And then he said,
bless his
much
drive.
Better,
that's funny.
Much better, I'd like to see an anti-social network called Crumpler, C-R-U-M-P-L-R. You just write down your thoughts on a piece of paper, crumple it up, and throw it in the trash can. It has the advantage of being platform independent and highly customizable.
Unhackable.
Like that. Unhackable too. Yeah.
Well, if you got a shredder, someone can still jump in your trash
bin. I used to have a shredder, but I had these four turtles that lived in my aquarium, and then they had this ooze, and then they defeated the shredder that I had.
Yeah.
Only 90s kids will remember.
I had you there. By the way, I'm one more star away from my book it free pizza. So.
I don't know what that is.
Only 90s kids remember. I think my fifth star, I'm going to read Kokesh's Freedom book. Then I'll deserve it.
Well, then you're not going to want to live long enough to go to Pizza Hut. Yeah, that book is not very good. I don't know if you folks have read it, but not my cup of tea. Like, maybe there's people out there where, like, they dig that because, like, they don't read a lot, but there's way better selections out there for literature.
Yeah, mine is...
Price is right, but...
I got Kokesh to sign it, and it says, F you, Jesus.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's warmly inscribed. That's what you say at the auction.
Yes.
First edition, warmly inscribed. Tour copy. Written to friend, Jim Jesus.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you sick and tired of peaceful people being banned from so-called Liberty events? How about Liberty festivals that are more regulated than a government housing area? Now you can do something about it. The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the 4th Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held Friday, August 26th through Monday the 29th at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo. There will be canoeing, kayaking, hiking, fishing, swimming, presentations, discussions, and bacon. Lots of bacon. This event is both adult and family friendly, and best of all, no overbearing central planners. There will be free Freedom Fiends and BIPCOP merch while supplies last. And don't forget the longer leashes for the Bow Wows and Woof Woofs. Round up your friends and family members and get them registered today at mplfest.org. That's Mike, Papa, Lima, Fest.org.
Hi, we're from the Church of Steam in Christ at Latter-day Steam Coin. Have you heard about the New Testament of cryptocurrency?
Yeah, so we're talking about Steam It, which is a contraction for a bunch of longer words. Cleveland, no, it's for a steaming pile of it. Steam It. Yeah. So there's this guy named Tony Vase. It's T-O-N-E, like Tone Vase, V-A-Y-S, who's a pretty smart Bitcoin analyst who writes for the Cointelegraph, who's pretty darn smart about analyzing things. I've read stuff he's written. You know, it's not based on emotion. It's based on, like, you know, he can read a white paper and, like, dissect the science of it. So he calls in today, or no, he didn't call in today. Daryl said on the show on Free Talk Live when Jeff Berwick was stepping in a pile of steam it and falling on his face in it. Daryl goes, and Daryl's my hero because he like held this guy, you know, held Jeff Berwick to the flames when Ian was like, oh yeah, this is great. We have our friend, you know, I love Ian. I don't think he could ever tell a lie seriously, like not like Lincoln who didn't exist, but according to Steve, but
that's the biggest lie.
Yeah, yeah, but Ian is a really honest guy, but he, he's kind of, I would say he's kind of impressionable, but he actually knew about Bitcoin before anybody I knew, and he turned Roger Ver onto Bitcoin, and Roger mined it, and Roger has like $50 million in Bitcoin right now, so, you know, and Ian did pretty well with it, and, you know, spread the money around and helps with a lot of activism and pays at a loss to run the LRN satellites that we're going to Africa and all over the world right now on. But so Daryl said, hey, Jeff, have you seen any of the posts about Steemit on Twitter from Tony Vase? And Berwick interrupted him and said, yeah, man, no, man, but he's a really good guy and he's really smart and he's a friend of mine. What's he say? And Daryl's like, he says that Steemit is a total scam. It was a pretty funny moment. Jeff had also just finished saying, yeah, man, I read the white paper for Steemit and it might just be genius. So, and I think Jeff's just a faker. I think he can't read a technical white paper. I think he sees big words and goes, that makes sense. So Tony Vase went through the white paper page by page, kind of like Jeff. Who is that guy who like proved plagiarism of somebody that we knew with like circling one thing in another column and commenting on it? Do you remember that?
Oh, that was Victor Pross.
Yeah, yeah, it was done like that. And that was for who? Oh, somebody we don't even know about or care about. So there's comments in this, exactly. Like, this is the Ponzi part of the operation. And then there's another part that says, like, this takes BS to a whole new level. Let me read the part that says this is the white paper technical mumbo jumbo for here's the Ponzi part of it. Because Steam wants to encourage long-term growth, it is hardwired to allocate 9 Steam to Steam Power stakeholders every 1 Steam. That's kind of like, hey, bro, I heard you like Steam, so I steamed you some Steam. For everyone Steam it creates to fund growth through contribution incentives. Over time, this drives the ratio of total Steam value of Steam Power balances to the total of Steam balances toward 9-1. It seems unlikely that the ratio will be somewhat greater than 9-1 due to the continued powering up of the newly printed Steam. This also means that long-term holders are almost completely protected from the dilution used to fund growth. So this guy basically figured out that like everything that happens on this, all the money goes to like 46 people, like 50% of the whole thing goes to like the 46, you know, kind of like whales on it. And that's another problem too. You wanted to talk about that, right, Steve? Whales, the whale problem.
I think that was me. But go ahead.
Go ahead.
But I will say that one thing, even if the coin doesn't pan out, they've given the world a drinking game guaranteed to give you alcohol poisoning if you just take a shot every time they say Steam in that white paper.
Yeah. Yeah. Jim's card, next card game.
Oh my goodness. When I was
Steams against
Fest,
humanity.
There was a particular person who I'm not gonna shame them, but it was just everything went back to Steve. Like, did you try the Navajo tacos?
Oh,
like,
at Jack
really
Fest?
Good. Yeah, if you took a picture of that and posted it on Steam, you could make all kinds of mistakes. Oh, man, are we going back to this again? Can we just not talk about this for 30 seconds? And it was like a cult. I mean, it really was. But it seems like in order for you to make any kind of money, you have to have a lot of social capital, a lot of it.
And if you can do that, you're already making money already on YouTube or something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to be steam powered.
You don't have to be esteemed to play
Steve
in my
Miller,
game, baby.
Miller.
Dean Miller, Miller.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you tired of driving your kids to Gigi Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where Gigi took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the Gigiest place on Earth. Gigi always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to Gigi's grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone, and that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll Mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire, and our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find Gigi Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, BIPCOT, MeowBit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating Gigi Allen's face.
So, did you hear about Steemit? I don't know if you've heard about this thing.
No.
I heard Jeff Derrick like talk about it.
Interesting.
I would like to be enlightened, and I would also like to make $25,000 from one blog post. Please enlighten me.
Oh, if you want to make money, said, have you heard of Steemit?
Jeff also said that Jeff Berwick is not the only person singing its praises. Also, Larkin Rose and Luke Radowski. Now, there's a ringing endorsement.
Dr. Denham himself, Larkin Rose. Larkin.
Larkin Mr. Rose. Mom Jeans.
Are you familiar with the Steve Miller and Luke Radowski meme?
No, but does it have something to do with steel beams melting something?
You're close. It is both of us in U.S. flag shirts. I'll just send it to you, and then
you can melt jet beams.
You could steam it. You could put it on steam.
There's the
and
show
then we'll
title.
Split the money. Yeah.
Steam can't melt jet beams. Yep.
Steels. Yeah. No. It's steel. It's steel seams can't melt steams.
Steams can't melt steams. Bro. Yeah. Dog.
Don't steam me, bro.
Hey, did you guys hear about the steam thing?
I want to say two more things about it before we go to Jackfest. I have this shaving cream called Every Man Jack, which is that like a command, kind of like everybody dance now?
Boom.
Steve would know. At Steve's gym, does someone come in once an hour and yell, Every Man Jack? So anyway. Yep. Go ahead.
My gym is named after a different bodily fluid. It's called sweat. And Rick Robotin, I know you listen to this show while you are at sweat, and I specifically bless your grind, Rick.
So Jeff Berwick today, when he was steaming steam for steam, because I know you like steam, bro, he started backtracking as he was just religious about it. He was in the cult of steam, and then as soon as Daryl started saying, like, so people say this is a scam, so tell me about it. Is this a scam? Are you a business partner in this scam? Can regular be like all the like real hard hitting questions? And Jeff was backtracking. He was like, all of a sudden was like, well, yeah, like I think what went on in his head was like, okay, this might be a scam, and I don't want my name being the poster boy of it. Like, again, like I'll pimp this, but I want to be able to disavow it and kind of walk away and hope no one notices if I need to.
My brand is scammery.
Yeah, it was funny. So,
hear about Steam?
I have one more question about Steam. So Steam is run by the guy who started BitShares, and I did some work for BitShares that I'm still waiting to be paid for. Now, it's not like with Jeff Berwick, where he still owes me money and denies it and like won't pay me the $200 he owes me for the work I did for him. It's more like they I just worked for BitShares, and they're like, well, you can, you know, you can you pay all now in Bitcoin, or we can pay you in now in this, like, shit, this, you know, which was like the most, it'll, it may be worth a lot someday, and you can buy a house with it for $200 of it, or it may be worth nothing. I didn't say that, but that was the implication. So I was like, how about half and half? And they owed me about $400. So they gave me $200 in Bitcoin and $200 in this shit. And this shit was like the most undecentralized thing ever. It was literally a mark with my initials and a number on a spreadsheet somewhere.
What was it called?
Their chit.
Say that on radio?
Chit. C-H-I-T. Okay. It means company store script, you know?
That's a terrible name.
So, well, it was basically stock, you know? It's basically a little bit of stock in the company. Now, here's my question. I called them, I emailed them recently, and they were like, well, we can't really remember if we owed it to you or not. First of all, that's a sign of a horrible company. Oh, and you could say it's up to me to know if I got paid or not, but like, I'm pretty sure they didn't. But if it were really up to the contractor to always be the one who knows, any contractor could walk into any company at any time and say, you owe me money, and they'd have to pay him. So it is absolutely on them to know how much they owe me. And I'm like 98% sure they still owe me this shit. And I asked them how much it was worth now the other day, and they said $100. So let me ask you this. How does some stock in the company that's valued at $200 when the company is making zero money, when it's losing money, when it starts, and how can that value go down by half from $200 to $100 when the company is suddenly valued at $250 million with a B dollars? That's weird voodoo math, man.
Because the chit hit the fan.
You were holding on to that one, man. Sure. All right. Was. So, hey, what's the odd pairing thing? You had one of these things on the bingo board, Steve, that said odd pairing. And I think every fiend show is an odd pairing.
That's generally true. So, odd pairing, in the original intent of the Fiend Bingo Board, I know some people believe it's a living document. I'm a Fiend's Bingo Board originalist.
It's a living, breathing, changing document?
In the mold of Neen 064 Scalia. It's got these.
Too soon, bro.
You have to go to the original intent. What I meant, and what I meant for odd host pairing is when you get a pair of hosts that you think in normal everyday life, were it not for this show, would ordinarily never be having a conversation with one another because
me and Jim Babb.
There we go. There's that. Lay it. Yes, Queen Slay.
Like who of the current people?
So, for example, like Lou is from Northern Michigan, like lives kind of isolated. I live in Kensington. We're like, there's a significant age difference there. Like, we don't really have all that many common interests. Like, we're
not that
like,
significant.
Yo, man, I outlived Jesus.
You're 34. Lou's like 38.
Would an odd pairing be like someone like me and Steve with someone like Ben Stone or
yes, it would be like any of you Lulberts with any of the Fiend's originalists who drop Mad Science.
Yeah,
like
I can drop Mad Science, but I think
are memes a science? Because if so, I drop science.
You know what though? I think that the original Fiends pairing of me and Neem Avedati, I think Neem Avedati in himself was an odd fiends pairing because he can quote Mises with the best of them, but he loves some Beavis and Buttheadery, you know, which is
with
really
the
what
best
formed
of them.
The Fiends.
How is that decided? Is there a Mises quoting B like in the like a spelling bee?
Yes, that'd be great. You should start one in Kensington on a street corner with a bullhorn.
Did you guys hear that steam?
Hey, kid, you want to try Mises?
I'm buffering hard on Mises, man. I wish I had done this. Where's the antidote? I got to come down.
I got that Austrian.
Duff Beer McKeegan. Hey, I was wrong. Last night at the end of the show, I was talking about how I talked to Duff McKeegan, the bass player in Guns N' Roses, on the phone and invited him to speak at an NA meeting, and he was loaded and was like, I don't know, man. Why don't you call me back in 6 months? And I never called him back because, but you know what? I didn't call him back because I was wrong. I said Duff McKagan, the bass player, was actually Steven Adler, the drummer. I forgot. And you guys know Steven Adler. He's the one that's Busey's roommate on that.
I'm intervention X for doubt on that one.
What's this? What?
Nothing. Carry on.
I'm done. I was wrong.
All right.
That's all. So Jack Fest. Every man Jack now.
Which I never really got because I don't know if you ever tried meeting jackalopes in your own tent. It's kind of hard and uncomfortable. But either way,
you know the jackalope idea that was invented in Wyoming, in Douglas, Wyoming, by two brothers who were probably drunk taxidermists about 100 years ago, who started putting antelope antlers on bunny rabbits.
That's interesting. I did not know that because
not really.
I don't know if you know this or not, but I don't know jackalope.
I know.
So the
jackalope, taxidermy is head theft.
Wow. The Jackalope Freedom Festival non-event takes place every year, I think around the first week of August, and it's a non-event. It's completely spontaneous order. No one is running it except for Jack, and nobody really knows who Jack is. Like, we don't know Jack. But it's a completely camping event. Now, I thought it was going to be
a campy event, you said? Camping.
Like you go first
in the woods?
You go and you pitch your tent, and you hop inside.
Is that
what
you kids are calling it?
Yeah, it's a little uncomfortable, but
you've made this sound like a really homoerotic freedom event so far. Just saying.
Yeah. And anyway, so a lot of stuff like campfires and stuff like that. And then later, you get some vendors who will sell you some Navajo-y tacos, which is interesting. You don't have the Navajos and the Hopis fighting. Anyway, but they'll cook you a hot dog either way. On some fry bread, which is amazing.
Wait, what is a Navajo taco? Does it have like turquoise bolo ties in it?
Okay, so you know what fry bread is, right?
It's
breadering.
You're basically making a taco out of fry bread, and they also have
taco. Can you say taco on radio?
What I just
did.
That's
racist. Taco toucher.
Oh, they were delicious, by the way. But I think at the end of the day, the hot dog reigns.
Do this as Trump. It'd be more fun.
I don't want to. I'll tell you this, that wall of fry bread just got 10 feet higher.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is tremendous, the fry bread. So I met like a lot of interesting people, up to and including Adam Kokesh and Mark Stevens, who I know you love. I know you're like
a
huge fan.
Who?
Mark Stevens.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't he a priest in the 16th century that like nailed his finger to the door?
Yeah.
True story. Brother-in-law.
I think that was just an attempt to try to throw some
magic
words.
Quit doxing yourself, Steve.
Yeah, he was just Steve trying Miller. To throw some magic words at the church in order to get off scot-free.
Yes,
from
yes.
To hell.
Check your email, guys. Since you hijacked me on the first segment, I'm doing it to you. I'm throwing it right back at you. But I'm going to stop right after you comment on what I just emailed you. I emailed you on an old poster I found of my movie DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, Bingo, playing in Las Vegas about 10 years ago. Go ahead and
$2 donation.
Feminism for Jim.
Yeah. Lady Fest Las Vegas. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
My movie showed it at a feminist event. Yeah. Yeah. I don't need men. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess
I'm a justice warrior.
Yeah. Should this be the image for the show tonight, which is called I Heard You Liked Steam, So I Steamed You Some Steam.
Something. Wait, should the feminist movie night flyer be the show image for the title of this?
Yes. Yeah.
Grandpa, are you off your meds again?
I'm off my meds again.
Yeah, those two things have absolutely nothing to do with each other. I sent you an image. Did you see
the image? I'm going to use this Luke Gradowski image. This is great.
I just want to say before we go into commercial that I did get an opportunity to show Kokesh the Gadsden flag I made of him that says don't pay your interns. He thought it was funny.
Nice.
I don't know if Derek did, but he did.
Laugh all the way to the bit bank.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Thank you for being a fiend. You may know the show is Triggerweens. We're saying worms and your new bigger buttons on. And if you threw a party and invited every yak you knew, you would see we'd still follow the NAP, and we're covered by Bipcot. Thank you for being a fiend.
Jacking it at Baca Meadow. What other libertarian luminaries did you manage to rub elbows with, Jim Jesus?
Let's see. Oh, of course, your buddy, Mr. Babb. He was there. I got to meet him. I got to meet, of course, the Derek the Slopies. And they brought their magical Wi-Fi ambulance that seemed to never be up. There was a lot of technical issues with that. Couldn't get my Airbits wallet to work, but I don't know. We did a couple of workarounds, and I was able to spend Bitcoin, but the taco vendor did not take Bitcoin, which is quite upsetting.
Scandal.
Yeah. Oh, the government stole our crawfish cages, which was unacceptable, by the way. We were taking little trips like 2 miles down to the lake. Was it the Black Canyon Lake? I think that's what it's called. And we were catching crawfish, and the government came and took our crawfish traps and our bucket, and that was, we didn't have crawfish, no crawfish.
Are we back on radio?
Yeah.
Sorry. I put down my headphones because you guys were bragging about how much more you knew about me than about old stuff from the 70s. And I'm like, dude, I lived in the 70s.
I don't know about anything from the 70s.
I know.
But I'm that 70s know nothing.
But I lived Bob and Doug McKenzie for like 3 years.
You admit that? You not only admit that, you brag about it?
Yes. Wow. Bob and Doug McKenzie were an awesome duo. Wow. How dare you? Oh, probably the only thing that Rick Moranis ever did that I liked. Oh, besides Ghostbusters.
All right.
Honey, I blew up the kid.
No, God. Don't remind me. Oh, I met your buddy Ernie, by the way. He's a really interesting
Ernie's
fellow.
Ernie's great. I like Ernie.
Yeah, he seems to be a very domineering in the conversation department.
Yeah, it's hard for him and I to do an interview together. We've done like 5 of them, but it's hard because we both try to fill up every piece of space.
I was ready for it because he's going to be on the Lulbert, so I'm going to be uploading the episode probably this morning after I get all the tags edited and everything. And I knew by talking to him just around camp and everything and seeing how he interacts with people that if he's going to be on the show, I'm just going to let him yak and maybe throw in a couple jokes here and there. Then it all worked out. Ernie's a really cool guy, but we had like an interesting situation that happened because there was a rave that happened. Someone had brought a giant tent and was, you know, DJing and doing a loud rave, and the bass was traveling throughout the camp, and some people were starting to complain, like, hey, we chose this side of the camp because we thought it would be quieter. And next thing you know, we had a rave installed next to us that went from noon to 6 a.m. every night, all night long. And so they all went to Ernie and said, like, you need to do something about this. And he's like, hey, I'm not the one that's running this thing here. Jack's running it, and I don't know Jack. So you guys need to work it out. And so it led to a discussion at the big stage that they had there. And what they ended up doing was they all kind of worked together and kind of solved the tragedy of the commons by helping her move to a more quiet area of the camp. And everybody
explain
was happy.
The tragedy of the commons for people that
so
don't
the
know.
Tragedy of the commons is if, let's say,
it's
you have
economic
land
term, right?
That is, yeah, it's land that's not, or land or an area that's not owned by any particular person. It's kind of like in the commons. The problem is that people don't value the resources that they're going to be getting from it, and they exploit it.
I mean, it's an easy explanation of like the solution to the problem that every Democrat and Republican have that they want to kill each other all day long over. Like, you know, for instance, like Republicans not liking what their kids are taught in private school, or in public school, then set them in a private school or homeschool them, you know, things like that. Like, basically, why do you try to like beat your head against the wall to try to make something that everyone has sort of a share in the way you want it to be, when you can just opt out of it and go do your own thing.
And it's more, it's better, because if you see, so you have a field that nobody owns, all the farmers are going to get their cattle to eat as much grass as possible, because if they don't, the cattle will eat it. The other cattle will eat it up, and then their cattle will starve. However, if there's some sort of property management, there's an incentive to keep everything sustainable. And you know,
another really good example is endangered species. If you want endangered species to not be endangered, legalize eating them.
Yes,
because then people will breed them. You know, like think about what there are. What's never going to go extinct? Chickens, cows. You know, there's more of them than there are people in the world on any given day, for sure.
But instead, we want to do this kind of dumb thing, which ended up killing the passenger pigeon and the dodos. And
yeah,
wasn't there some kind of weird emu type bird that went extinct?
It was called the steemit. It went well, I'm here from the future to tell you about a bird called the steemit that's going to go extinct in about 4 months.
It died because it would never eat. It just made blog posts for thousands of dollars all day long.
Until its bladder exploded.
Did you guys hear about steemit, by the way? I don't know if you heard about
steemit.
This. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, go on with your commons tragedy, your common tragedies. Jim?
What about my tragedy?
We're about to be out.
Okay, I don't listen to that feed.
I've noticed. Yeah.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Don't take just one button. Get all of them.
Yeah.
But you can
I'm transitioning.
Venus Enough. Freedomfiends.com.
I'm transitioning from buttons to stickers. The merch you use these days is fluid. It's not determined at birth.
I do like the little buttons, though. They're way more punk rock than the bigger buttons.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Good, you can collect them all and trade them with your friends, because when this batch of 40 bags of buttons is gone, there's going to probably be no more buttons. Yeah, maybe I'll sell it all. I'll sell the whole racket to Davy Barker for $1 or something.
I have some good ideas for a button, for a sticker, and I think they would sell well. And I'm just going to end up just having like a pack of stickers. Like you just buy like
stickers. Stickers are easy to make. You know what I like about the stickers? That like I've never ever dealt with a company that makes anything custom that is so proactive as that sticker company. Like I come up with an idea, make the artwork for it, upload it. 2 minutes later, I get a confirmation email. 6 hours later, and I don't pay for expedited shipping. And 6 hours later, I get an email that says it's shipped. And like the next day or the day after that, I get the stickers. I also like
mailing them a lot easier, because I can mail it with the stamp.
Yeah,
with I don't have to mail. I don't have to stand in line or use a self-service kiosk or anything like that. Yeah, it's just easy to do. But
yep.
Anyway, so we. Should we go back to Jackfest?
I got a couple things to say. So new saying, don't phone me, bro. Because you know that the fiends came up with the phrase don't drone me, bro, after that don't haze me, bro thing. It's true. Nima and I came up with that like 5 years ago. If you Google that and do it by date, the first thing that comes up is a Freedom Fiends episode from 5 years ago. So yeah, I came up with don't phone me, bro. Or actually, a friend of mine came up with it, and I wanted to say it because I actually had to use my phone for like a half-hour call this weekend with somebody that we're like tech support helping each other on something. It was horrible. Phones are horrible. They really are. Yeah.
They sound terrible.
They do. They're not creamy.
Terrible.
So don't phone me, bro. Fiend phone me.
You know what I really hate? I really hate when people call you on Facebook. That I want to like kill them. I had to Facebook Messenger. I had to uninstall it. It was just too much.
Yeah.
The people calling you.
People know not to do that with me, I think.
Yeah, and you'd think they would get a hint because they would call me, and then like a week later they would call me, and then the next day they would call me, and I'd be active on Facebook while I'm doing it, and then I'd have to tell them, like, dude, do you not get a hint? Just don't ever call me on Facebook. It's offensive. It blocks out the whole website, and it makes that annoying noise, and you can't turn it off except for leaving the website. Or
I also hate chatting. Off. I hate, like, when people I know or kind of know or even kind of know well, like, I'll be working, and all of a sudden, like, they'll start chatting, like, hey, bro, what's up? I hate it even more when it's strangers, and even more when it's people from Africa who talk really slowly and take 5 minutes to go between, hi, how are you? And asking me for money. But hashtag Africa, please donate.
Yeah.
But I kind of look at like all these things as tools, you know. If I want to chat with somebody, I'll do a Fiends episode every day. So I don't have that need to chat.
Yeah. 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 This is the best phone call of the week for me. So
it is.
I really enjoy it.
So before I turn it over to you guys and just kind of sit back and be the lady laugh track, I wanted to point something out. I realized something the other day. People joke about the fact that I have like 8 topics that I do a lot of. You know, they're usually like accomplishments. Like I'll talk about the movie I made with Hubert Selby that was narrated by Robert Downey Jr. Or I'll talk about my band Bomb that was on Warner Brothers. Or I'll talk about something, you know, from like DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. That actually came up tonight. But the thing is, I talk about those things more now that Steve made jokes and especially a bingo board about them. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, Steve.
In fact, when you mentioned them, I could hear bingo boards like dabbers hitting cards all around this great world of ours.
People were dabbing to the Fiends. People do. I know.
Like, at Alpha Centauri, there's probably like bingo boards.
Now if I have like 5 show notes or, you know, like Jim just discovered the joy of actually having a pad of paper in front of him during a show, which I've been doing since I started podcasting in 2006. I mean, actually, I've been writing down like little notes to myself since I could write. Like I still to this day on my left hand like write things with pen and use it as a notepad. And I started doing that when I was like 8. It's kind of I had a friend like I chain smoked for like 30 years and you guys know that. And I had a friend that used to make fun of me when I was like 25 for being a chain smoker. And he's like, but you know, the irony is you'll probably die from cancer from ink poisoning on your hand. Lady laugh track. Where is my lady laugh track? But anyway, yeah, so Steve is making me talk about those things more. Like if I have, you know, 5
I'm not
topics,
making you do anything. Voluntary exchange.
Yeah, but if I have like topics. 5 things written down on my bingo card to talk about or on my hand or in my head, I'll tend to go to the one that Steve has put on a bingo card just because then I know we can hear dabbing of oils all around the world every time I say it. That's what it is, right? It's a drinking
you know
smoking
what I'm gonna-
game.
I'm gonna do? I'm gonna make a limited edition dabber that is a rubber stamp that's modeled after Hubert Selby's cane, and you have a stamp pad and you re-ink it every time you boom 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 because you'll have and time. It's not like regular bingo where they're calling a new ball every 30 seconds. Like you got like a couple of minutes of show usually in between when you get the space. Yeah. That's part of the fun of it.
And sometimes you can miss some. You can miss it. Like, oh, I didn't even
Everything realize. I know about bingo, I learned from Better Call Saul, but I believe you. You said I bingo, should play bingo because I'll leave the house and I'll meet people who care as much as I do about kids on their lawn.
Yeah, bingo's a real not popular like, thing out here in Vegas, believe it or not, with the locals at least. There's all kinds of bingo halls.
It's gambling for people
and
that aren't smart enough to understand. It's gambling for people that aren't smart enough to understand cards.
Or a slot machine.
Yeah. That's why it's popular.
Yeah.
Steve,
well,
your comment?
They're all right.
Yeah, I like bingo. I think that it's first of all, it's harmless. Secondly,
okay, grandma.
Secondly, people that want to chain smoke have got to go somewhere. Third, helps the church get a lot of funds to you know.
I was going
to
say you're clearly
do whatever.
This.
Hey, you should make a DMT smoking game out of Fiends Bingo, Jim. That and magic words and
coming to a Jack Fest near you.
And steam will keep the government off your lawn. So, you going to talk more about Jack Fest?
Yeah, speaking of psychedelics, all right, cool. Jack Fest. Jackalope Freedom.
Can we talk about steam, too?
Have a little DMT in your Navajo taco.
Yeah, right. It's a non.
Right now, there's somebody sending me an email that says, "Michael, you know you can't take DMT orally. It's not absorbed in the stomach unless you take MAO inhibitors." I read it on. Yeah. Okay. I know. Don't email me, bro.
So the Jackalope Freedom Festival, also known as Jackfest, which it's kind of like one of those names like Porkfest, where it sounds dirtier than it really is. It's just a bunch of people camping and doing psychedelics and making podcasts next to an ambulance. That's pretty much it. So, but the thing out there is, like, everybody was doing psychedelics. Like, I ran into a YouTuber that used to YouTube for a while. His name is Robert Kruger. I can't remember his last name, but it was Robert something, and he used to do a show on voluntary virtues called The Anarchist Experience. I met him, and I was like, oh, yeah, I saw you on YouTube, and, oh, that kind of sucks. You haven't had a stalker or whatever. And he was like, oh, man, I'm frying right now. Can we do this later?
Can you talk about all the people that want to kill me when I'm not tripping?
My face is melting.
So, like, there was a lot of that going around. I may or may have not participated in such activities. But, you know, hey, it's a...
Did you play Steam Against Humanity as a tripping game?
We did play Libertarian Against Humanity. By the way, did you hear about Steam? That should be a card.
Yeah, that's going to be a card.
So we played Libertarians Against Humanity. We did it with one of the co-hosts of the Lulberts, Baron von Stormhaven, who you said has the best white power.
Yeah, that sounds like a white power like screen name on what's that site that you kids love?
So Stormfront or SJW?
Yeah, you kids and your Stormfronts. Yeah,
and your hula hoops and your BLTs and your
Pac-Man video games, your Kensington McDonald's.
Yeah. So we of course Davi finally got his voice. By the way, it wasn't too much fun hanging out with Davi, and it's not because he's a bad person or anything, but because he had a bad illness.
Great.
Yeah, but it was kind of interesting for a while.
You're a healthist.
When he had a notebook that he carried around.
One lungs matter.
And on the back, it had the words F words on it because he couldn't talk. So anytime
Dobby's
someone would talk to him,
he's been taking vows of silences since he was a teenager too.
Right.
I mean, I can see why if you told me Davi was sick, guess what he did? I'd say took a vow of silence because he's talked about it a lot. He's been doing that forever, and he always brings a pad of paper in case someone really wants to talk to him. I get it.
So
I could never do it.
There was a couple times where he would say something and he would like hold his neck like So he ended up just writing some stuff down, and I told him he should save the book and make a musical out of it. And he thought it was, and he said, "Oh, like silence the music." Well, he wrote it down.
Laryngitis, the musical.
No, silence the musical, which is interesting because one of the cards that came up was blank the musical, and it just so happened that one of the people who was talking to him had the card silence. And of course he won that. I thought that was so like when it was a weird coincidence. But there was a lot of like woo going on there. Like there was so many like hippies talking about GMOs and Monsanto and I got some enlightenment through DMT, and I was just like, dude, it's just all right, that's fine. Oh, and fluoride. I had a nice little lively discussion about fluoride. Oddly enough, I was warned that there was going to be a lot of talk about Bigfoot and UFOs and that sort of thing. Never happened.
How does Nick Hazelton protect his yaks from Bigfoot? That's what someone asked on the Twitters. Who's peeing?
Twitter's where the important questions get asked. That's my coffee maker, and I apologize. Let me. Okay. I can fix this.
Yeah, it's Fiend Phone. Fiend Phone is pretty sensitive. The other day, I was phoning with this guy, and we were like, "This is horrible," and got on Fiend Phone, and I said, "Hey, I'll be right back." And I went, came back a minute later. And he's like, "I could hear you peeing," and I was like, two rooms away, around two corners. Yeah. That should be the audience for Fiend Phone, is people who want to do that kind of fetishism but don't live in the same town.
So yeah, that was pretty much my trip report. I think I got everything in. You should
trip
check out
report.
The first hour.
Scene report. Yeah.
If you don't get the first hour of the Freedom Fiends, you should check out the podcast and listen to the first part of my trip report. I'm gonna post it on Irrawid probably tomorrow.
Post it on Steam.
Post it on Steam. Yeah. I just made 15 cents. Nice. But yeah, it rained a lot, and a lot of drugs were taken. A lot of people spoke.
When we get back, we could talk about my fetish of listening to people pee on Fiendphone two rooms over.
Cool.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Is spreading the message of liberty and peace around the globe worth 15 cents per day to you? As you may already know, in addition to our internet feed, LRN.FM broadcasts on free-to-air satellite across North and Central America, as well as Sub-Saharan Africa. Last year, we did a fundraiser that successfully covered the costs of continuing our African channel. This year, we're hoping to raise enough to fund a new satellite signal that will cover Europe, North Africa, and much of the Middle East. You can donate as much or as little as you like via the Indiegogo campaign at fund.lrn.fm. And there are perks available like sitting in on your favorite LRN.fm show, exclusive shiny badges, or even naming a satellite channel. Please contribute now at fund.lrn.fm and help us continue our satellite broadcast to multiple continents. The fundraiser ends August 19th, so please visit fund.lrn.fm today and thank you for your help. That's fund.lrn.fm.
Oh, we're on the air. Oh, hi. I didn't see you there.
put away your marital aids. It's time for the Freedom Fiends.
I don't know if people heard that, because after the music got lower, you should say that again. That was pretty funny.
I said, put away your marital aids. It's time for the Freedom Fiends.
Steve, do you have a Hitachi magic wand?
Is he even there?
We lost
him. I think he wanted to make some coffee with his urinating neighbor, I guess.
I'm here. My finger was on the cough button because of the coffee.
Is that what you kids are calling it now?
Yeah. Wow. That's what we're calling it now. Don't wow at me, Grandpa.
Wow. So Lucy. Do you guys love Lucy? I love Lucy.
Lucy she is loves awesome. Me.
I know it's like supposed to be hip to like her now because like people like Louis C.K. Call her an influence and things like that. But
they opened up relations with Cuba, so everybody's everybody's Ricky. Feeling like Lucy,
yeah,
loving those Cubans.
Yep. But she is from my county, the county I left. It's actually far from my county. The only people that ever had any talent left that town. It was three people. It was me, Lucille Ball, and Natalie Merchant. And we all got out as quick as we could. And Lucille Ball actually lied, like denied she was from Chautauqua County, New York. In interviews, she said she was from Montana, just because it sounded weird and cool. But yeah. Yeah, so in Celeron, New York, which is one town, it's the town next to Jamestown, New York, where I went to college, and it's like three towns over from Westfield, New York, where I grew up. Celeron, New York hired because Lucille Ball lived there as a kid, they hired a local artist to make a bronze sculpture of her, and it was horrible. It looks like Mike Tyson. It's a bad representation of a human being, as well as not looking anything like Lucille Ball. And there was this this Facebook. First of all, the artist got death threats, which is, I guess, the world we're living in the current year. That's a little far, I think. But the market took care of it. There's a Facebook page, and it was called "We Love Lucy, So Get Rid of That Statue," and it got hundreds of thousands, or if not millions, of views and people saying thumbs up. And the town, Celeron is not a town that's in the news very much. Celeron, New York, and the thing about small towns is they don't like to be on the news, and when they are, it's embarrassing. Like the last time the word Casper, Wyoming was uttered in the national news in any way was 3 or 4 years ago when there was a school shooting here with a bow and arrow, and that's the kind of town I live. This Wyoming is like the most armed state in the Union, and that's a fact, and Casper is one of the most armed towns in the most armed state in the Union. Like everyone's got a gun here, like even Democrats carry guns here. And The school shooting? It's with a bow and arrow. Of course it is. So so Lucia Ball, so Celeron, New York is in the news and being embarrassed by this horrible statue. And they got rid of it and they got someone from a bigger city somewhere to make a better statue. And it's stunning. It looks exactly like her. It yeah. captures her laugh, her spirit, everything. They nailed it. Way to go,
yeah.
Internet.
The original statue kind of looked like Ed Sullivan.
It was with Mike Tyson. It was mean. It was really manly looking, you know?
Yeah, it even had like the slick back hair, and I was like, she had curly red hair. Like
it looked like Roy Cohn. Boy, that's an old guy reference. Steve, do you know who he is?
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I've seen Angels in America, yeah.
It was J. Edgar Hoover's boyfriend, wasn't it? Roy Cohn?
That's the rumor, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They wore dresses together.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they were like...
Maybe.
Tell me more, Grandpa.
They were the original ANCAPs.
No, they weren't. Far from it.
No.
Anarcho-capitalism equals gay. I don't know if you know this.
You know what's really embarrassing?
That's inside baseball.
Really embarrassing is that the guy who made Steam, Daniel Larimer, who's actually...
Oh, I thought you were going to say Gabe Newell.
He's actually been a guest on this show about four times when he's talking about bit shares back in the day. Diana Kyler interviewed him one time. It's pretty funny. But he's an anarcho-capitalist. So it's... I don't know, man. I think this stuff is a government plot to kill anarchy. You know, sometimes I think these people are government agents, and then they come up with these schemes, and just
steams
that will probably crash and burn to embarrass anarchy.
You know, when I first heard steam, when people were talking about it, or actually when one person was talking about it over
a lot
ad nauseum, I originally thought that they were talking about Steam, because there is a program called Steam that you can download, which is, you can download games and buy games from it.
Yeah.
And it's made by Valve, and it's even called Steam Powered.
That's another indicator of like a scam. It's like a name that's really similar to something that's already popular.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
Meow. Meow, 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 meow.
So tell me, show me on the doll where Netflix touched you.
And so everybody's all Netflix happy lately because there is, well...
Stranger Things.
There's Stranger Things. But everybody's got their House panties all in a tizzy over Netflix and all the wonderful binge watching options they have. However,
did you see that Pee-wee movie? It's awesome. I'm sorry, sorry to interrupt.
You're discussing pornography, and yes, I did see it. But that notwithstanding, on Netflix,
I would like a root beer barrel.
So one of the mainstays of Netflix, like ever since they went hard in the streaming service, was documentaries. They always had a really good documentary section. You could find whatever, and let me tell you, it has been downright malignant as of late. You look through the selection of documentaries, and it's like, here's a food documentary that's going to say things that are like appeal to your feels, but like aren't really true, and they're gonna use the word factory farming about 70 times. Here's like
Food Incorporated and
Food Inc. Anything about factory farming, it's just a piling on effect. It's like people like wanting to like talk to you about 9/11 truth or like something that. Like
factory farming is pretty horrible, but I mean.
I do think factory farming is horrible, because I went to a factory farm and it'd break your heart to see those little factories try to walk around.
Okay.
Yeah, they grow factories on factory farms.
Of course,
I've done my research.
I should have seen that coming. But anyway,
it was low hanging comedy fruit, and I plucked it. You know why? Because low hanging fruit is one of the things we produce at my factory farm. I need subsidies. Okay. They get mad about subsidies too, and then their answer at the end is to always call your congressman and ask for more government. Yeah. And that'll solve the subsidy problem make them give money to organics, and yeah, everything will be better. We'll all be happy, etc.
Yeah, and then of course the Zeitgeist videos are on there, so you can watch all the crazy stuff that's you know, like, oh yeah, 9/11 was an inside job. Christianity is all pagan parallels and astrological parallels, and you know, they're all going to chip us so we don't have to use cash money anymore. But the only solution to that is to build a robot communist utopia.
And
that's a good series of films.
Please get in your Earthship. Do not hesitate. Get in your Earthship right now.
And then there was Making the Murderer, which I had heard a lot of people like. I had not seen it. I wasn't even aware of it. Maybe it was on my recommended thing, but it wasn't on my radar. And everybody had made a video talking about how inaccurate it was. They said, like, yeah, the trial had some problems, but the guy clearly did it. And there was even a thing in there where, like, the guy, like, threw his household cat into a campfire or bonfire in the backyard. Or he got it, like, covered in gasoline and threw the cat in there. Yeah, just all kinds of just terrible stuff, and they just kind of like they tried to say, like, "Oh, that was just an accident." How do you accidentally get gasoline all over your cat and then throw it into a fire? Like, how does that happen?
You have a chemical imbalance in your brain that makes you do like patently evil things. Yeah, that's how
murder people.
Yeah, I wasn't really convinced by it either. And the other thing is, I'm one of these people that gets personally affronted when something runs on too long. Like, I hate Peter Jackson's movies for the most part because they're all like 3, 4, 15 hours long. And Making the Murderer, it should have been a documentary. It should have been a 2-hour documentary. They go in, they follow this guy around, whatever. But Netflix wanted a series. So, by God, it had to be 8, 12, whatever episodes it was, and they drag on. And every phone call between the mom and the son in jail is, so, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yep.
I guess they got me going to court. Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, it's just as boring as life in Wisconsin. Right?
Yeah, King of the Hill, where everyone's standing around drinking beer.
Yep. I don't know you, yep. That's my purse. I don't know you, that's my salvage yard.
Yep.
That's my salvage yard. I don't know you. That's my corpse. I don't know you. That's, yeah.
And then, of course, isn't Blackfin on there as well? I think Blackfin is also on Netflix. I think I've seen it on there. And I'm just like, ugh.
Oh, I'm a vegetarian. I don't have any tuna on my Netflix. That's Bluefin.
Oh, Bluefin.
I don't even know what Blackfin is. I know Black Mirror is on Netflix. That was decent, but that's not a documentary. My complaint today is specific to the documentary selection on Netflix, and they need to step it up and show me a documentary about something that I care about. Why is the world not conforming to my standards?
It was basically a documentary about Shamu and all the whales, or the killer whales they keep at SeaWorld, and how they're being terribly abused. And again, there was also allegations that movie was kind of over-exaggerating stuff. But, you know, whatever.
Was Willie freed at the end of it?
I think Shamu was free. It was Free Shamu. I think that's what it was called, or something like that. Yeah, I usually try to stay away, because anytime I even watch a documentary on Netflix, even if it is decent, it always tries to recommend me something that's just full of woo and bad science.
Oh, like, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, gosh. And then you have to go in.
The woo,
like,
factor is through the roof.
Yeah, there's a lot of wooey documentaries. In fact, I have like a kind of a thing when it comes to documentaries. If there is a narrator, it is a bad bad documentary. There's some that, you know, there's some exceptions, of course, but for the most part, if there's a narrator, if it has to be explained to you through a narrator, it's not doing a good job, or it's trying to BS you.
But that shows how you have a celebrity advocating for your cause, though, because yeah. You're just a normal, you're just a normal documentary, but then, by God, here comes, you know, an Edward James Olmos impersonator or whatever.
Yeah, doesn't Michael
to narrate it? And if you had an Edward James Olmos impersonator, you'd call him Edward James Olmos.
By the way, didn't Michael Dean have a movie that he had someone narrate? Famous,
what was I think name? So. Martin, you know what, Jr. he brings it up, he marks it off on his bingo board, and that's his Selby documentary, though, if memory okay. serves correct. I've seen yeah. them both, actually, and I've also seen Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. I've done the complete prerequisite, like, intro to Freedom Fiends course that you have to take, that the union offers, and you have to get a 60 on the test in order to get union membership. It's like, yeah.
I think that's an exception, but mostly because it doesn't have a political, like, agenda behind it, which was what I mean when it comes to most documentaries with a narrator. If it has to have a narrator and it usually has some sort of agenda, it's basically feeding you garbage.
And I also don't like documentaries where you can tell the documentarian went in looking for a specific point of view to prove and then couldn't find it. So they are just kind of thrashing around in society looking for, like, the Romney documentary. You could tell they were looking for dirt on Mitt Romney, and the biggest dirt that you could find, the Alexander Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi's daughter, the biggest dirt she could find on Mitt Romney from following around all closely was that he cleans up his own trash before he leaves a room, and he likes spending a lot of time with his family, and that he is mind-numbingly boring. And that is nothing we didn't know. Yeah. But yeah, the banality of statism.
Yeah, like anytime I'm watching a documentary and it has some sort of agenda, which is fine, and it has a narrator, I'm like, red flags go right up every single time. Usually you don't have to explain what's going on in a documentary. If you ask the right questions of the people you're interviewing, you don't need a narrator. You just need to edit it so it narrates itself. Every good documentary that I've seen.
Fiend phone.
No.
Here we go.
You don't get it.
Michael Dean.
Max Headroom. Yeah. The narration is where they couldn't find the right subject in the documentary to support their thesis. Every documentary is presented as science. They blindside you with this BS where they basically come from this premise of, there's a topic, we're going to look at all sides and come and find out what the truth is. No, you're only making the documentary. I say this as a documentarian who does this stuff. You only make a documentary because you have an agenda. You interview 30 people. You throw away the interviews of the 12 people that disagree with you. You keep the 2 interviews of the people that disagree with you that sounded or looked ridiculous. And Fox News does that too, and so does CNN. Like when they get their opposing person, when they have the, you know, politics shout, when they have 2 people on split screen, they have like the really good looking, articulate person on their side, and they just have the like unkempt hillbilly on the other person's side. That's how you do it, man.
I know, like, Michael Moore always loves to, like, he'll edit things out to make them look way worse than they are. Like when he had the Charlton Heston thing, he pulled out a gun and was like talking about the gun to Charlton Heston, and then he edited it out so he was holding a picture of a girl instead. And then there was another one where he said that he didn't get the interview with that Roger guy who ran
Roger and me.
But he did. He did get an interview with him, and there's video of it. And he didn't put it in the movie. He cut it out and made it seem like he doesn't want to talk to him.
Wow. Because that's the whole... I didn't know that. Because that's the whole punchline of that movie.
Yeah.
Is that he allegedly couldn't get him to sit for an interview.
If you want to see a really good movie about Michael Moore, I suggest it's called Manufacturing Dissent. Dissent.
Oh, Dissent.
And it's actually written by a couple of liberals who wanted to make a documentary kind of like praising Michael Moore for his work. And the more they were doing interviews and was looking into it, they were like, wow, this guy is a total liar. and then
he also doesn't pay his interns. I heard he doesn't pay his interns.
Oh.
I think I know someone else who does pay their interns.
Yeah.
Michael Moore is a liar. Michael Moore is a liar, a socialist, and increasingly androgynous with age.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks like a Kensington lesbian, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He has the hair like a commissioner of an all-female darts league.
Darts? Wow.
Yeah.
You have some weird events there in Philadelphia, man. Darts, bingo, polka.
Don't bash polka. We'll
square dancing.
Fighting words. Them's fighting words. Yeah, but that was a really good document. And it's kind of funny because Fox News brought them on, not knowing that they were a bunch of liberals. And they tried to do an interview with them, and they were just like, oh, Fox News is terrible.
So like, Steve's favorite kind of music. Steve's favorite kind of music is polka, country, and gangster rap, right, Steve?
That's correct.
And I asked you if there was any combinations of all three, and you said no, but there's country rap, and I'm like, I know that, but is there rap, gangster rap, polka, gangster polka rap?
Not to my knowledge.
From the mean streets of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I think someone needs to fill that market demand right away.
It's the mean dirt roads.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth, Justice, American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth, Justice, American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth, Justice, American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth, Justice, American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Bad audio is a hate crime.
Good audio is a love bomb. With that, we are back on the Freedom Fiends. This is Steve Miller here with Jim Alexander, asking you if you've heard about Steam, and also about to drop some hot poetry on you. So I have a poem that was written by a comedian friend of mine, Walt Whitman was from the Philadelphia area. He was from Camden, New Jersey, which is how I became addicted to crack. And a little local joke for you there, but Camden's a hellhole. Anyway, look it up on the internet. There's all sorts of poverty porn about how Camden is. And Walt Whitman was a Camden resident, and somebody wrote this Walt Whitman-esque poem after watching somebody vomit into a trash can at Kensington and Allegheny Avenues, where Jim Babb and I gave out radios for feeding the homeless. Lo, but I am one with you, you lecherous ratcher-ratching. Just as you have spewed forth voluminous chunks amidst the judgmental visages of the multitudes, I too have spewed. I too have been judged. May you breathe deep sighs of relief between each guttural heave, and among your travels, unfettered by sound judgment, do not forget me. As you unburden your body of potatoes, bacon grease, eggs, opioids, sadness, Cheetos. Wrap yourself around your cylindrical oasis with your strong and supple biceps, no homo. Do not lose eye contact with me, you of pungent aroma. There is more fight within you than you might suppose. So, that's just Thank you. I like that slam poetry is competitive. I don't know if I ever mentioned this, but at the venue where I work at, there is often competitive slam poetry, which is, I guess, just how quickly it gets to your feels and how much you can make the judges feel that they owe you one due to your race, religion, gender, etc. What your perceived victimhood. Because this has a lot. Because we also made slam poetry bingo at work, and it was, raped, poem is written to an imaginary oppressor was a popular space. It's been a couple years, but as somebody who worked in the kitchen, it was always bumping whenever we would get a slam poetry show. Because the speakers were always huge for a poetry show. And I don't say that because, like, they had a big sound system, but the people speaking into the microphone were always enormous. And you need something to occupy your time and your body when you're listening to some hot poetry. So people would order food just en masse, and I'd always be flying around. And you'd be flying around trying to be as quiet as possible while cooking, while somebody's talking about, you know, getting raped by their grandpa or whatever. Because that's what poetry's become these days. It's about, like, talking about yourself and all the people that oppressed you. It's just one more thing that the social justice warriors have ruined for us.
It really is kind of social justice-y, isn't it? There was actually one slam poet that I kind of do like, and it was only because he was the great-grandson or great-great-grandson of L. Ron Hubbard, and he would just bash Scientology. It was pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. His name was Jamie Kennedy, so you can find some of the stuff on Jamie Kennedy, but he had to change his name to DeWolf so people wouldn't confuse him for that terrible comedian from the movie Scream and Malibu's Most Wanted.
I have a... that's interesting. Yeah, I have a poetry label, and I would like to sign him to a billion-year contract. I wonder if he's got a poem about that. Billion-year contract. It's something like a compact. My grandpa making it make... Yeah, see? And that cadence and that rhythm that they go at is just... It is not appealing to me.
It's good if he's bashing Scientology, and it's really good. I don't think it was rhyming.
And it's good. It's good. And here's the thing. If it were like the poem that I read where it were about people vomiting into trash cans, I would be into it because that's creative. That's interesting. That's actually like taking, you know, kind of an odd look at things that you see every day in Kensington, what have you. But when it's just like... I saw your eyes, man, as you shot up. It was the same eyes my grandpa gave me when he told me to take off all my clothes. And, like, et cetera. But, like, it's always about, you know, the men sticking it to you. So, if you want to hear my new poem, if you want to hear my new poem, it's called I was Victimized by My Grand State, and it'll debut on Steam, and I will be a Steam millionaire off just one poem, and I'll be writing about to you from Nigeria, where I'll be selling you land for Steam coin.
Worms. Is it going to be on sale during the summer sale on Steam?
Yeah, well, what I'm going to do is sell you some land that I don't even own, and it's going to be downward sloping off the side of a hill.
Seems legit.
Get while the getting's good. And we're gonna call it
Shut up Rand's Ranch. Oh, okay.
Rand's Ranch. And yeah. He took my name coin, he took my life coin, he even took my ski.